I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
If I bleed tonight, if I am sad tonight, I don't have a job to find. And if I work tonight, if I'm so tired tonight, I'll fall asleep when I'm home, when I'm
home. Hey everybody, welcome to a brand new episode of the Personal Land Podcast here on Patreon a day early or on the main feed on Friday. My name is Kenny, joined as always by the incomparable, legendary Finley Martin. How are you doing, Finn?
Legendary, thank you, Kenny. I don't think I'm quite legendary. Incomparable, yes, I'll take that compliment. How are you doing, Kenny?
I'm good. I can't complain. I'm happy. I'm enjoying it. It's a good season to be a wrestling fan, so... You know, it's all good. Plenty for us to talk about.
As always.
Yeah, it never goes away. It never goes away. Someone who also has been not shy of saying what she thinks is Ronda Rousey. Her new book's out. And she has been, it's called Our Fight. It's her second autobiography. And she had basically talked about how, you know, she's not a fan of Vince McMahon, she's not a fan of Bruce Pritchard, and she talked about how, you know, Vince would do shows in big cities like Philadelphia and New York, and then in countries like Saudi Arabia, where they treat women like Vince wishes he could, was her line. And then she was asked yesterday in an interview with Never Been Told, excuse me, when she was promoting her book about, you know, should she give any kind of behind-the-scenes elements of pro wrestling or WWE? And she described WWE, she said, behind the scenes, how much of an absolute shit show it is at the WWE because they can't hold the story over my head and hold me hostage with my own career. I don't need anything from them and I don't intend on going back, so I can say everything that I think and feel while everybody else is still held captive by their organisation. So she's not holding back as Ronda. And how she feels, what do you make of her comments?
Well, I mean, the thing is, when it comes to Vince, we're now, you know, post-lawsuit. So, you know, we know what he's accused of. And it's, you can't defend him, can you? So there's not really much point talking about that. Because, as I've just said, Vince has been accused of some really awful things. So we can't really get into the, you know, the legitimacy of those comments because, as I've just said. So, I mean, as far as WWE, you know, she went there in 2018, 18, right, Kenny? 2018 Royal
Yes.
Rumble, that was a debut, wasn't it? Well, she'd been there previously, made an appearance, hadn't she?
At WrestleMania 31, her and The Rock.
Yes, and she seemed, I mean, she'd been a big fan. I mean, I remember you saying that, was it the 2019 or 2018 Hall of Fame? She sat there right to the end, didn't she? Lots of the talent had left, and she was there until the end. She was a huge fan, wasn't she?
Yes, she was.
So while she was there, certainly that first time around, she didn't seem to have any problems with the place. I mean, maybe she did, and she just didn't make them public. But if she had such a problem with the place, one wonders why she ever went back. You know what I mean? It's like, you
I
say,
mean,
well, she was up to.
I did hear rumblings that she at one point, and I think this would probably been on her first run, that she was like the second highest paid person behind Brock.
Yeah.
I don't think she would have been that the second time around. I mean, she was. They would have issues, but yeah, I mean, it's I. There is part of me that feels a bit of sympathy towards her in terms of, I mean, even though she wasn't very good, her booking also wasn't very good, and I can understand that element of it, but she also needs to take some responsibility for her part in it, her role, her because she didn't really seem interested in the second time around. We talked about
No,
this.
she didn't. Well, she returned Royal Rumble 2022 and they put her over. I mean, she won the Rumble. And as we talked about at length and I wrote about and lots of people have talked about and written about, it was a different Ronda Rousey in 2022. You know, the enthusiasm wasn't there. It certainly had been 2018 to 2019. I mean, that mixed match she had with Kurt Angle against Triple H and Stephanie was such a triumph on every level, wasn't it? I mean, it was just so amazing, that match, that it was as good as it was. It exceeded everyone's expectations and probably hers as well. I know they did numerous rehearsals, but still, it was so well done on the night. And she was a big part of it as well. It wasn't like she just tagged in a couple of times. She was a huge part of that match. And you know, how long did it last? It was a long match, wasn't it? That 2018 match.
Yeah,
The WrestleMania match.
I'll try and get the time here. It
Yeah,
went.
20 minutes and 40 seconds. So it's a long match.
Yeah.
And that was her very first pro wrestling match, right, Kenny?
Yeah. I mean, obviously, and, I mean, they'd obviously went through it and all that, but still, to be able to do it, and she didn't fumble once at
She
all.
didn't, absolutely not. So I mean that first run, I mean we talked about it, that she had that incredible match at Money in the Bank with Nia Jax, and it was just like wow, it was just so exciting, wasn't it? I
Yeah.
mean, it was just like wow, this match, and she gets it, and Rousey just understood the biz, I think, because she'd been a huge fan and she was so committed and dedicated, and you could see she wanted to be better. And there was a few moments there where you could see that she was struggling. Certainly it would have been the Charlotte match at Survivor Series, wouldn't it? Where they had actually had a hell of a match there at Survivor Series, really tough. And then she started arguing with fans on the way out when they were basically, verbally abusive towards her. And she was there arguing with fans. And that was the first moment where I thought maybe she's had enough. You know, maybe her resilience is waning and she's really not enjoying this experience anymore. Because obviously.
She famously didn't like when people booed her or were critical of her. She was great when people cheered her, but
Yeah.
as soon as people started booing her at that Survivor Series match, she could tell it really got to her.
It absolutely did. And, you know, she was a millionaire and she'd made huge money from UFC and was very successful then. Until then, she wasn't. And she was beaten. And that really did seem to affect, I think, everything about her. And she left UFC and then it took a while for her to enter pro wrestling. But as I said, she was a big fan and this was something she wanted to do. And WWE wanted her and was willing to pay her very well to, you know, sign her. So, but that whole 2022 to 2023 run. And yeah, I don't think you can blame the booking because she had numerous opportunities to prove that, you know, she deserved that huge salary that she was being paid and the push that she received as well. I mean, she was always presented as a star, but she didn't wrestle like a star. And, you know, the whole thing to me, she just seemed to be almost there against her will. Didn't she? That almost, you know, because she'd signed the deal and she signed the contract. And she had to, I guess she had to go back. And it just seemed like she was there reluctantly to me. So I think it's going to be, I mean, you can't argue with some of the things she said about Vince McMahon in light of what was revealed in January or what he was accused of in January. You know, you can't, I don't really want to go there because, you know, you can't comment on that because of everything that Vince has been accused of. But Ronda, to me, between 2022 and 2023, she didn't give us her best, Kenny. And she was paid handsomely to be there. And so it's hard for me to sympathize with somebody who didn't go to work every day and, you know, with the intention of giving the fans value for money. So it, you know, and it just is very difficult for me to really sympathize with someone who didn't give us her best.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And
I
it's
mean,
like, well,
she might be the only person that I can think of as an example who actually did better under Vince than she did not. Because
yeah.
the first time her run was, I mean, I don't think that that's because Vince was particularly, great with her. I think it's just a quite coincidence. But she kind of is the exception to the rule because that first run was kind of legendary when you look at it. Even that those last few weeks when she was, you remember that really hot angle that her and Becky did where they were both arrested and they were both in the car and they were kicking the glass out of the car door and all that. I mean, that was great. But yeah, the second run just wasn't as good. But she, yeah, she's not shy of saying anything about how she feels. So
Yeah, I mean she's entitled to make those comments. That's up to her, isn't it? And people can reach their own conclusions about them. But had she, you know, 2022 to 2023, had she gone there with like, you know, a really upbeat attitude and determined to, you know, really make things better and elevate her matches and her division and you know, she made some noises about, you know, when her and Shayna were going to become tag champs. Oh, we're going to do this. We're going to turn this division into, you know, we're going to light it up. And then she didn't. And then, you know, we got our hopes up before that last match at SummerSlam when Ronda and Shayna, you know, did those sit down interviews. And then the match just, you know, was a flop on the night. It just didn't deliver at all. So, yeah, it's difficult, really. It's difficult, really, to really sort of be on her side with some of those comments that she made, because she was paid being paid very, very well. And I just don't think she provided value for money in that second run. And I think a lot of people agree with me.
I think I do think one thing that WWE should take away from not just Ronda but just in general, it's like, if you look at the women's division and the good parts of it and the bad parts of it, those tag titles are just nothing and they continue to be nothing. And when people win them, it's just two random people being put together and it's kind of been that funk the whole time that they've had those belts. And I kind of question the idea of, I equality is good if it works the same way, but if you're just having these women's tag titles as a kind of look, women have tag belts too kind of thing, without much effort being put into it, I don't really know if it's worth it in that sense. That's the one thing. That's probably the only thing I would say. Because I know Ronda had an issue with, the tag division for a lot. She
Yeah.
made those comments when she was there about how there was basically no division, and I think that was part of the reason why she sped up her exit. Part of the reason why she just kind of went, I'm leaving sooner. Because when her and Shayna won the belts, there wasn't really, I mean, they had Liv Morgan and Raquel, I think, as opponents. That was kind of it. There was nobody else, but
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Yeah, well, that's true, but at the same time, it's like, well, you're champs now, and like you show us what you've got. and you electrify this division, and he didn't do that. I mean, I personally feel like I'm with you on the tag team belts. I think I just don't know what purpose they serve. To me, they should be returned to NXT, where I think they really could make a difference there, because it's a smaller venue. You've got far more over female performers who are on the rise. There's a hell of a lot of female talent on the main roster who I'm sorry that are just not productive anymore. And, you know, we need some of those younger people to be brought up, and we need the booking department, creative division on the main roster to start taking this tag division, this women's tag division, if there's going to be one, more seriously than it does, and giving it more time. But I just think those women's tag team belts would serve more of a purpose in NXT right now. I just think it would be something that I think the belts, the championships, if they were NXT, I just think they would be handled better by Shawn Michaels. And I just feel like there's a lot of people there who could do some exciting things with those championships, with those championship belts. And I don't have, you know, I don't really feel excited about the future of the women's tag team division on the main roster. You know, whether the Kabuki Warriors face, you know, Naomi and Bianca Belair or whatever, I just don't feel like that match is going to shine. I just don't feel like it's going to enhance anyone. It just feels like it's just almost this sort of dumping ground for people that they don't have any other ideas for. That's what it feels like to me.
Yeah, I would agree. Because even if Naomi and I think there's a chance on the night that Naomi and Bianca and the Kabuki Warriors could put on a good match and that people could get into it. But even if Naomi and Bianca were to win, it's still that same thing of putting two people together. I mean, at least with Asuka and Kairi, they are a team. They have been a team in the past. But yeah, there's not a division. So if there's not a division, it's like, I remember Sandra and I were talking about it once, and it was like, equality is not just sort of having something for the sake of it. Equality is, it's there for a reason, and it matches up with the other element of it. So yeah, I think they need to, you know, because we just don't, these 3-minute matches on Raw, who cares? Anyway, let's move on. We've got other stuff to talk about. So I know that people who like hearing you have a wee rant about AEW fan will probably be happy I'm asking you this question. I'm hoping you can try and make some sense of this for me.
Okay.
Because I'm struggling. So
I'm struggling. You sound like Lord Sugar. I'm struggling. You're not about to fire me, are you, Kenny?
I don't want to hear any more. I don't want to hear any more from you. Okada last night on Dynamite defeated Eddie Kingston to win the AEW Continental title. And the match was set up last week from the 6-man tag with the Elite against Eddie Kingston, Pac, and Penta. So people were kind of a bit like confused about, well, the Continental title was created to then be part of a triple crown, which would also include the ROH World title and the New Japan Strong title.
Yes.
So it was a triple crown belt. So then it was announced that last night was going to be a match with Okada and Kingston only for the Continental title, one of the three, not the triple crown together. And a lot of people thought, well, there'll be like,
just tell me that again. The reason they've done this is because obviously Eddie Kingston is a huge fan of Kawada, Misawa, Kobashi, All Japan in the 1990s. And the Triple Crown was the championship in All Japan. You know, it's huge, huge belts, huge, huge deal back in the day. The three titles that comprised the Triple Crown. So he was basically became champ as like this tribute to his heroes, didn't he?
Yeah.
That was the whole purpose of it. That was the reason it was created for him. Sorry, Kenny, I just chimed in there.
No, you know, that does add good context to what we're talking about. So, you know, obviously, so they had the match, and then people kind of assumed that what would happen is that there would be like a non-finish of some kind, and that would lead to a triple crown title match at the pay-per-view, and then Okada would win the three belts. But instead, Okada won the Continental title, which has broken up the triple crown. Now, I'm a bit confused by that because the Triple Crown was only started in December. But, you know, you know way more about the original Triple Crown than I do. Does this make sense to break it up so soon?
No, it doesn't. It doesn't make any sense. And it was the end of that interminable tournament that just, you know, we were losing the will to live. You know, watching these epic matches that just, and so many of which meant nothing. You know, they're just like, you know, sapping our, you know, lives. It's just time we're never going to get back, Kenny. you know, all for the to create this triple crown, which, as I said, was a tribute, you know, to all Japan Pro Wrestling. And I got that. We said at the time, I don't think AEW needed any more championships, and it needs fewer championships, not more championships. But to then break it up, I mean, this actually makes things worse. So it means now we've got two people holding the belts that prior to yesterday only one person held. So that's even more confusion, isn't it? Because essentially we've just created...
Another belt.
Yeah, exactly. Instead of having three titles on one person, we've got two on one person and one on someone else. So I just don't see the point of this at all. It should be the Triple Crown in All Japan, was all three belts were defended collectively, and when you beat the Triple Crown champion, you won the three belts. And that was why it was, you know, seen as a huge... Well, obviously, All Japan was a huge deal as well back in the 1990s. So that was part of it, and the talent they had was, you know, the best talent in the world. So, you know, it was all these factors made it prestigious. So for Eddie Kingston to lose one of his three championships, you know, what are we talking? Less than 3 months after he won them? Or yeah. Won or combined all three belts together. Yeah, it was World's End, wasn't it, when he won all
World's
three?
End, yeah.
World's End. I just don't understand it. And, you know, last night, there was a lot of good reviews for last night's Dynamite, you know, especially the Adam Copeland, Christian Cage main event. You know, I've read a lot of good things about last night Dynamite. I haven't watched it yet, I'm afraid. But this is just bizarre and nonsensical and sadly just so AEW. Just so typical. I just don't understand it, Kenny. What do you make of it?
I can't really make sense of it. I'm trying to think about, because I just can't believe that you would want to break it up so soon. So I'm trying to in my mind think about what the plan is to... Because, I mean, there will be a plan. It's just whether it's a good plan or not. So the only other way I can see it playing out that would keep the Triple Crown is if basically Okada like beats him one belt at a time to get all three, which is great for Okada, but, I mean, it's not great for Kingston. They're just getting beat for every one of them. So, and then if Kingston's now got the ROH and the New Japan title, I mean, I guess that means he can start going back to New Japan, defend that belt on its own, and go back to Ring of Honor. But yeah, I just don't get it. I'm kind of scratching my head at the thought process behind it.
Yeah, and it's like, why would Okada want to win the New Japan Strong title? He was the top guy in New Japan, so that championship's been beneath him, isn't it? Really?
Yeah, and also it's like you mentioned on What's Going Down about the other day. We were talking about something you said, you know, but not overcomplicating things. We're talking about the tag ladder match thing, which, by the way, I should mention, you know, we talked about the tag team ladder match qualifiers and how it didn't really make any sense.
Yeah.
So Stephen Bradley, who listens to us, actually pointed out that it's SmackDown have 2 4-team tournaments to determine the two teams. So New Catch Republic and Umberto and Angel, I guess, are the finals of one team tournament. And the other one is AOP against the Street Profits and Waller and Theory against the OC, and whoever wins that part will also qualify. But they did not make that clear on TV at all.
And why do they have to win more matches to qualify for this match than teams on Raw?
I know, it doesn't make any sense.
That was the point we were making, wasn't it?
Yeah, and to that point, it's like, you know, that makes no sense. And, you know, Stephen's kind of pointed out to us, which is great, thanks for that, Stephen. But the explanation makes that make even less sense. So... And, you know, now with the Triple Crown, it's like, wouldn't you want to just build this Triple Crown? I mean, put the Triple Crown in Okada, of course, because he's great and he's a big star and, you know, you should put the belt on him. But I just don't get the reason to split them. I think it's complicated. I don't think it's that interesting. But...
No, it's just baffling. And to me, Okada should be vying for the top belt. He shouldn't be vying for mid-card belts. You know, you brought this guy in. You haven't really introduced him that well, as usual. You know, you're expecting everyone to know who he is. And obviously a lot of AEW fans know who he is. I know who he is. You know who he is, Kenny. But a lot of the mainstream audience doesn't really know who he is. And if you want to portray this person as the person you think he is, and most of us know he is, he shouldn't be pursuing mid-level belts. He should be pursuing Samoa Joe. That should be the first championship that he's going after, because that's the level you want to portray him at, isn't it? As a top guy.
Yeah, but even, but I mean, you know, even if you wanted to put the triple crown on him and you wanted to make that feel like a belt on the same level as the world title, how does it feel like that if he's winning one of the three belts?
Well, exactly. It makes no sense at all. So you're right. If you're going to go down this road, okay, we'll decide we're going to do this. Give him all three championships. And he's, you know, won it almost immediately. And that would go some way towards, you know, portraying him to people who don't really know who he is, that he's, you know, very dangerous, you know, threat to any championship or, you know, collective combination of championships in the company. You don't just give him one of three titles.
And you get, and you arguably, you give him the, well, it's not arguably, you give him the one with the least lineage and the least, like, time.
That's it, yeah, one that was only created in December.
We will be here every week to look at the trials and tribulations of what's left of the Triple Crown. And,
We should also mention, Kenny, last week's March 13th Dynamite drew 798,000 viewers.
Yeah, which basically confirms, you know, Mercedes Moné should have been advertised.
100%. Yeah.
And should also not have gone on first, because if you go on first, as we've seen with The Rock, you know, on SmackDown, the weeks that he goes on first, the rating does dip towards the end. Whereas the weeks that he's on last, the rating goes up and up and up. And, it, you know, it's just common sense. Put the big thing on last. So,
and, yeah, well, she did make the appearance at the end, of course.
Yeah, I mean, you know, who's sticking around to watch Rio and Willow Nightingale in the main event?
Not that many people, because, you know,
I think she did do a million viewers. She did do a million viewers in her segment, but again, it's like, imagine if you'd built it and promoted it and then she was on last. You could have had a million at the end, which would have got your rating up to that. But,
well, a lot of that's the leading though, isn't it, from the Big Bang Theory, right?
Yeah. But, you know, she, and maybe that was their idea. Let's put it on when there's the biggest crowd. But I still think, you know, it would have been worth the experiment to promote her, because everybody knew it was her. It's not like it was a surprise.
Yeah.
But anyway, listen, two quick things I want to ask you before we go. Shayna Baszler is going to be appearing at an indie show over WrestleMania weekend on the same show as AEW talent, TNA talent. She's going to be facing Masha Slamovic, who is a TNA knockout. And she'll be at Bloodsport. That's the event that she's going to be at. And, you know, people are kind of quite excited about the idea of, you know, WWE maybe giving out talent that aren't doing anything. I mean, this is what they used to do in 1998 when Jim Cornette would, you know, broker talent going and doing indie shows. It's not something we've properly seen in a while. Do you endorse this kind of idea in theory?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's a good thing for Shayna. I mean, Masha Slamovic, I'm a fan of hers. I think she's real talent. You know, I hope she gets signed by WWE one day. And, you know, if she, I imagine she's viewing this as the biggest match of her career, which it is. And if she enters, you know, there'll be people from WWE watching this match. So this could be, you know, she could be viewing this as a job interview, couldn't she? So, you know, this is a big match for her. And Shayna's not doing anything at the moment, really. I mean, I think she's reached a point now where she accepts that she's had a shot and she's not going any further in WWE. And probably every month that she stays there now is a bonus in terms of financially setting herself up for life after wrestling. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to watching the match and also to hearing the response that Shayna receives. And we've often talked about Shayna, and, you know, I thought she was really good in NXT, and it just didn't translate. It's never really translated to the main roster. And I've never quite been able to understand why this is. And we were talking earlier about her and Ronda. We thought, oh, this is it. She's going to go out. Ronda's going to make sure a pal goes out. You know, she's going to go out with a bang in this last match at SummerSlam. She did end up putting Shayna over, of course. But the match wasn't particularly memorable, was it, Kenny? You know, SummerSlam last year. That's so I'm hoping that Shayna... Kenny?
That's you being very kind to that match.
Exactly. So I'm really hoping that Shayna has a great night against Maša Slamovic, who, as I said, I think is very good. And yeah, this is, I'm sure she's excited about it. Something different on a different promotions show. And I bet she's as excited about this as anything she's done in a long time, Shayna Baszler. So I'm looking forward to seeing the match, and I'm wishing, I've got only good things, good thoughts about this match. I hope they tear the house down, Kenny. What do you make of it?
Yeah, I really like it. I think WWE and AEW should. Well, I know AEW do let their wrestlers wrestle on indie shows, but I think WWE should do it as well. If there's people who aren't on big cards and you know you're not going to factor them into anything, put them on something and let them, because then it could have, you know, Shayna Baszler, she does really well WrestleMania weekend, and there's a bit of a buzz that might make WWE want to do something with her on TV, so it could help her out. And you know, I know the old Vince thing was just not to let anybody do anything like that, but you know, nobody's a threat to WWE with the amount of stuff they've got, and Triple H, it seems like, understands that, and you know, we're letting this happen, so I'm very happy for all involved. Last thing I wanted to ask you about was The Undertaker. So he has a podcast now called 6 Feet Under. Leave the jokes there. And
brilliant.
And he was asked about facing Sting in WWE. And he said, everywhere I go, any given day, I get that question. I always get asked the question, you know, why didn't you and Sting ever have a match? Or why didn't this happen? Man, that would have been huge box office. It just didn't work out. He had a short run in WWE and Vince didn't want it for whatever reason. I don't know what it was. He just didn't feel it. And everybody else was like, people have been clamoring for this match for quite a few years. And I mean, I don't know, a year or two into his turn or that character change, people were sending me artwork with the billboard or the poster. It just never worked out. And he went on to say, the match would have been good, but I don't think it would have lived up to the expectations that people have for it. People always think about things in a certain sense. I think they thought in their mind of Undertaker 2007-2008 versus Sting. It was later on than that. I can say that I was in the backside of what I was doing when he got there. So, I mean, rare modesty coming here from The Undertaker, who confirms what we've said all along, which is that it probably wouldn't have been as good as people thought it would be.
No, I don't. I've said that previously more than once. I mean, Undertaker, you know, he realised, you know, there is, yeah, humility there, accepting that, you know, physically he just wasn't the guy that he had been in, like, I always say, you know, his match with Edge, 2008 WrestleMania. To me, that was probably Undertaker's best ever in-ring performance. You could say that First Hell in a Cell was a better match, and I think it was. And certainly with the angle with Kane and everything, it was a bigger match in terms of being historically significant, that's what I mean. But the 2008 WrestleMania match with Edge, I thought it was best Edge's best ever match as well, to be honest with you. And yeah, for The Undertaker to just sort of come out and say, yeah, that match just wouldn't have been that amazing. And I just don't think it would have been. And the problem they would have had as well is I think people would have wanted to cheer Sting. And it would have been like two faces. So I think that was possibly why Vince was opposed to booking the match. Because, I mean, Undertaker wasn't going to turn heel at that point, was he? Obviously.
No.
And Sting was at a point in his career where people just didn't want to boo him. And I think also maybe there would have been some heat on The Undertaker if The Undertaker had beaten Sting, which of course he would have done. So that could have been a potential problem for Undertaker as well. People would say, well, why doesn't Sting win the first match and they can do a program? Vince, I'm sure, would have been totally opposed to that. And possibly Triple H wanted the match, Kenny. Maybe Triple H is the culprit here. Maybe he's the one who blocked this from occurring, certainly at WrestleMania. But I think there was a lot of factors. And, you know, I actually am glad that it didn't happen, because I think people would have viewed it as a disappointment. And now it's almost like Austin Goldberg. You know, people, oh, wouldn't it have been great if Austin Goldberg had a match? Actually, no, I don't think it would have been. Because a lot of the things that Goldberg did, he wouldn't have been able to do on Austin. Austin couldn't take those knocks at that point in his career. He just couldn't. And obviously by the time, you know, Goldberg arrived, Austin had retired, hadn't he?
Yeah.
So I know he did come back for the match with Kevin Owens 2 years ago, but that was obviously a nostalgia match and very different. So I don't think Austin Goldberg would have been the match that a lot of people envisaged it would have been. So I actually think it was you know, I think it was actually good for their careers that it didn't happen either. So, I think Undertaker, you know, good for the Undertaker for actually coming out and saying that and admitting that he wasn't, you know, the performer that he had been a few years earlier. You know, that does bode well for his podcast, Kenny.
It does. It bodes well for him. So, I'm sure there'll be more Undertaker based content that we'll have from his podcast, good and bad. But that's all the time we've got for today. We will be back on Patreon with an overrun where we look at the Hall of Fame class 2004, the first class back after their, you know, hiatus since 1996. And the WrestleMania 20 review is going up tomorrow. I've been editing that, so that'll be up tomorrow as well, so you can check that out. So patreon.com/insidetheropes. And Finn, we will be back on Tuesday to talk about CM Punk's return to Raw.
We will, yes. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. Should be a hell of a response to him. Shame that he's not gonna be a part of WrestleMania in terms of wrestling. And I think that would have been bigger. And I always, you know, envisaged that there was gonna be this contract signing between him and Seth Rollins.
Yeah.
You know, that Chicago Raw had Punk not suffered the injury at Royal Rumble, you know, so, but hey ho, he did. And, you know, Drew McIntyre has been the beneficiary of this. So, and, you know, hopefully at the end of the line, CM Punk will return and he'll have that feud with Drew, and that'll be massive as well.
Yeah. Fingers crossed. Well, yeah, we'll be back on Tuesday. Thanks for all your support, everybody, and we'll talk to you soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.